Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Variety Radio Online's Once Upon a Time Recap. I'm Rachel, and on the line with me I have Emily. Emily, are
Hello.
You still alive?
Barely hanging on by a thread, which I'm sure you are in the same boat.
Yeah, I'm like so ready for next week's episode, but I'm like not. Because if this episode, Broken Heart, was any hint to how next week is going to be, I will be on the floor crying with a bottle of tequila, most likely.
Most likely. Nursing a bottle of rum, like a good pirate would. It's not what I will be
doing. Yeah, rum or tequila. I will take either. I don't even know where to start. I don't want to talk about it. It was just such a... I don't know.
There were a lot of things that happened in this episode that just made all sorts of emotions come out, and I feel your pain.
Yeah. We can start off by... Colin Donahue's acting in this episode was probably the best he's done on the show, like, ever. Which is saying something, because I love his acting, and I compliment him just about every week. But for real, this time, it was the best. I say that every time, but, I mean, this time, really.
It was good before, but now it's, like, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like he plays evil very, very well, and he plays the dark one, and some of my favorite scenes of him was from season 2, when he's evil, and, I mean, granted, I love brooding hero Killian as well, but I'm a sucker for villainy Captain Hook hell-bent on revenge and everything, so getting to see him as a dark one was amazing, and I kind of hope it, like, I know based on our theories that he's probably going to die in the next episode, according to us. That's my theory, but I wish he would stay as a dark one a lot longer, just because I love it. I don't love it because of the things he's doing and saying, but at the same time, I love Colin's acting when he's all evil and dark, and it's beautiful.
Definitely. Definitely good to see, like, now, well, we've gotten glimpses of, like, oh, okay, so obviously we first met him, he was, like, this kind of bad boy, kind of, you know, mysterious and kind of cocky, and then it turned out he got kind of sincere and genuine for a while, and then we got some glimpses of these other fake personas, you know, like in the alternate universe and this other stuff that's happened. But I feel like this was just like downright evil, like nasty, cruel, and it was like 10 steps further into the darkness than I feel like he was, than we've ever seen. Obviously, at some point in his life, in those 300 years, he probably was that mean and nasty if he killed a guy for drinking his wine and stuff like that. But this was just like a punch to the gut, like super intense.
It was, and I loved every minute of it. Give me all the angst. And I
basically
will be happy.
To quote Ron Weasley, we're going to suffer, but we're going to be happy about it.
Yes. Yes. I think that sums up this season very well. Yeah, definitely. So, going back to the beginning of the episode, it picks up right where the first episode first left off. Basically, the Bear King had no impact whatsoever on anything ever.
Basically, they just slid it in there, and at some point it'll advance some plot somewhere. But for now,
I hope so.
Didn't really do
but
anything.
For now, we got bigger problems. It picks up right where it left off. Emma and Killian and Zelina are in their house.
It's their house.
It's their house. that they picked out, or that Kelly picked out. Anyways, yeah. So his look of betrayal on his face in that scene, it hurt a lot. And I love Zelina. Zelina has the best one-liners ever. And I love how she's like, so are we good? Oh, I like you better as this one. Okay, bye. And just pieces out.
Yeah, she was very sassy and snappy. And I feel like I love her that way. I mean, she was great when she was, like, wicked and, you know, whatever, like, evil. But I feel like now that she's, like, not an immediate threat, she's just, like, you know, she's just like a little snapping turtle. She kind of, like, just has his little...
She's a snapping turtle.
And we're all far enough away where we're not going to get hurt, but it's just funny to see her kind of, like, lash out. And
Yeah,
she just gets all... She gets giddy over the, like, the funniest things. Just, like, it's just really entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I love... I hated her as a Wicked Witch. Like, I mean, granted, she's still a Wicked Witch, but I hated her whole plot, because I thought it was so petty of her. But now that she's just kind of, like, floating around and doing her own thing and just messing up everything, and she gets those wide eyes and that huge grin, and it's like, yeah... I'm like, all right, I love you, especially with your, once you go green, you'll never go queen, because that was the best line I think
that
she's ever said.
That was much, much needed comic relief in this angsty, emotional, crazy episode. That was exciting to have some little form of laughter, even though we were all crying at the time.
Yeah, pretty much. So we get flashbacks, and I love that they showed what happens when they are in the vault, because it made me think about what Emma saw and how she saw being abandoned all the time and why she has all these trust issues and everything. Because for Emma as a Dark One, I feel like she's not that evil of a Dark One, because every move that she's made as a Dark One and all the dark magic that she's pretty much used has been for love. For the most part. Majority of stuff.
Like, other people. Or to try and do something good. Like, really, the only, like, thing that she's done
was
that
violent.
Was probably, like, a step too far was the thing with Henry. But even that wasn't, like, that wasn't in like, the spectrum of all the evil things in the world.
Yeah.
That's, like, way on the left side, like, not even close to being anywhere near some of the things that, like, obviously, like, Rumpel did. And,
yeah, compared to Rumpel and all the other villains we've had.
And ever from all the other Dark Ones, she's, like, the tamest of the tame.
And even Rumpel said
Rumpel. Rumpel said practically useless as a Dark One.
Yeah, even if she is, So, I mean, that's why I don't understand why Merlin said, oh, this is the darkest path Emma could take. I'm like, she saved the man she loved. I really don't think that's the darkest path she could take. But okay, we'll go with that,
maybe
Merlin.
Maybe because of the domino effect. Because, like, you know, domino effect is, oh, Emma was dark, embraced the darkness, then creating a second Dark One, you know, making even more problems, and then obviously from like the end of the episode, domino effect down to then Hook opens, you know, the portal to the underworld. So it was just like this whole big domino effect.
You know, her heart was in the right place. She tried.
It was. It's okay. I wonder if Helen knew that Hook was going to become like the Dark One, or like, because I always feel like he was always eyeing him up, like, suspiciously. And I'm like,
I thought he was eyeing him up because back in the previous episodes, we thought Hook was the true king of Camelot. Because he always kept eyeing Arthur, or kept eyeing Killian, and he looks like Arthur, and they kind of have the same backstory in a way, and whatever. But now that you say that, I wonder that too. But what I also don't understand is why he's never tried to change anything.
Yeah.
Like, he just like, lets like, stuff happen. And it's like, oh, that was a bad choice. I knew that was coming.
I don't know if he only sees, but like, the bits and pieces and, like, the potential outcomes of, like, multiple scenarios, depending on, you know, like, obviously, because people are in control of their own destiny, it seems, in the show.
Yeah.
They have the ability to change their destiny. And so I don't know if maybe it's, like, he saw that that was a possibility, and maybe he just hoped if he, you know, that's what he was trying so hard to get
Emma
to, like,
hard enough, it wouldn't happen.
Steer down the light path. That's what, maybe that's why he was begging her so hard not to fight him back. Because he knew if she did, what was going to happen.
Oh, snap. Emily cracked the code again.
I swear I don't think
I
of
like
these things
theory.
Before we start talking. And they all just kind of flow out of my mouth as we're talking about things. And I think it's just really funny how half of these things I don't think
too.
Of beforehand.
I get that, too. I like that. That's what happened, guys. It's decided. Merlin knew that if Emma did this, it would lead to Killian becoming the Dark One. That's why he kept making eyes at Killian, being all creepy.
And begging her not to fight and just give up. He just wanted her to give up and let Arthur do what he wanted, because that was the lesser of the evil path that could happen. Like, because then if that would have happened, the worst thing that could have happened was he was going to die. But maybe he knew he was going to die either way. So he thought it was better for the world if Arthur killed him than if, you know.
Oh, was he going to kill him?
Killed him. It wasn't that his whole thing. Like, he wanted to get Excalibur back so that he could kill Merlin. Well, maybe not now that it was controlling him, maybe he wouldn't kill him, but I feel like that was,
oh, yeah,
like,
he wanted
goal.
It together,
it's, like,
so
to
he
get
come,
what he wanted.
Yeah, you're right.
He wanted to get what he wanted out of it and then just, like, kill Merlin.
You're right. I forgot. There's just so much plot in this first half of the season. It blurs together for me sometimes.
It's a lot.
Yeah. One thing that really, really made me mad was Snow White's comment about Emma, and being a murderer, and planning the murder. Excuse me, who killed Regina's mother, and who did that on her own and didn't ask for help from anybody? Yeah. I wonder where she gets it from. Like, come on, like, I was like, are you kidding? Like, I yelled at my TV. I was so mad, because Snow's done this quite a few times, or when she'll, like, suck David into it. Like, back in season 4 when her magic was out of control, and she's like, we failed her, David. And no, you did. David didn't do anything. Leave David out of it. Sometimes. But she did redeem herself when David was questioning Emma, and she was like, we share one heart. She chose love, and I stand beside her decision for that. And I was like, all right, Snow. You just got some points with me for that. Because I thought it was going to be the other way around. I thought David was going to be the one to say that, and Snow was going to be questioning it. But, So I was like, oh, good job, Snow. You're not being a hypocrite today. Congrats. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I liked that, how, obviously, I feel like it's like, with Snow and Charming, it's like you have to take everything, like, at face value with them. I don't know. It's like, they are always operating from the mindset that, like, oh, they're always trying to choose the best path, like, regardless of, you know, things that have happened in the past. They'll empathize with you later. But in the moment, I feel like they're always, like, trying to hammer in the good, hard, like, righteous path. So.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how I, like, I always
it's
take
like they don't
their,
think about their past experience.
Yeah, I always take their criticism and comments with, like, a grain of salt, because I'm always like, yeah, well, give it some time. You guys might come to realize that you were in a similar situation. And I get that you want her to learn from your mistakes, because you don't want her to have the guilt of murdering someone. But she already does, because she killed Cruella, so I don't get what the point would have been.
Yeah, I don't think Emma carries the guilt around
that wasn't, like,
of murdering a villain,
so
like she would.
I guess since it wasn't premeditated murder, it's different.
I feel like Emma wouldn't
killed
care.
Her on accident.
I feel like she wouldn't care, though, about Zelina. She would have been like...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Zelina's the reason Neil died, so I feel like it would have been, like, revenge in a way, almost, and...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just... I don't think she would have felt as guilty as Snow White did when she murdered Cora.
Yeah.
Which Snow White should not have felt guilty about at all, because Cora murdered her mother. I'm sorry, I'm very eye for an eye.
Yeah.
Another thing that very... See, because I'm so protective over Emma, even if she is off being the dark one and everything, because her feelings, her trust issues, and her abandonment issues are extremely amplified right now. So then when she was trying to help everybody, I was trying to, like, hey, I know that I should have told you, but, you know, I couldn't, so this is the best way, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't come to you. And they're like, oh, we can't trust you now. We're going to go to the library by ourselves. You're just going to stay here. And I'm like, guys, this is the whole reason she has trust issues and abandonment issues right now, is because you're doing the same thing again and excluding her. And her face was just like a sad little puppy face, and just wanted to give her a hug.
Definitely. I was not a fan. Of course, that everyone's like, oh, we don't trust you. Well, we don't actually... We trust you, we just don't trust the darkness, you know, that kind of thing. Which I feel like, I don't know if it's just this new plot or what the deal is, or maybe since what by the time we kind of knew Rumpel as the dark one, like we saw bits and pieces of him, his beginnings, but I feel like they're treating like Hook and Emma as like the dark one, as they're like being possessed by this like dark being. But like Rumpel, that's just like who he was. So I don't know if it's just because he was so far gone into it for so long that he just kind of was one of the same. And since they're trying to fight to get, like, Emma and, well, now Hook, like, free from the darkness, and we saw that the darkness was, like, its own entity, that's why they're, like, driving it home that, like, oh, they're all possessed by the darkness. They're, like, being manipulated by the darkness. I feel like they didn't ever kind of stress that with Rumpel, but I don't know if that's their way of kind of not justifying things that he did, but kind of speeding up his redemption in a way by being like, oh,
yeah.
Not everything he did was because he's a total doofus. Like, some things were because he just wasn't strong enough to resist the pull of the darkness, which I guess is okay.
See, but that makes me so mad.
If he's not strong to resist, that means he's, like, kind of not that great of a person, I guess. But I don't know. It's so complicated.
That's what aggravates me. Like, that's what aggravates me. They'll change the lore, like, two seasons later, and I'm like, wait, no. If you're saying this about Emma and Hook, that means I have to feel like Rumpel is a good guy. But, you know, he was just possessed by the darkness. And I'm not okay with that. Because the amount of crap that Rumpel has done is just like... And that's another thing that aggravated me about this episode. Is they're sitting there judging Emma for trying to save Killian. She literally had done nothing in Storybrooke except try to save Killian. And, you know, kill Zelina. But that was probably the worst thing she did, was try to kill Zelina. And there they are sitting all chummy with Rumpelstiltskin, the one who have, like, ruined their lives multiple times over and over and over again. And then Belle's like, oh, well, we only have till noon to save you. It's like, don't save him. He's fine. He can handle himself.
Yeah.
And if
he
can't,
like,
oh, well.
I did like how they brought
it up. Get over
it. So I feel like they do that sometimes where they... when things are kind of, like, ludicrous on the show, and then they kind of, like, call themselves out on it, like, one of the other characters who's, like, more, I don't know, grounded
Rumpel's
in reality,
like,
I guess.
Rumpel
like Emma,
is the only one that calls himself out on his own bullcrap. Like,
yeah.
Because even Belle's like, well, you're a hero now. You saved
at
me
least
from Aaron. And he's
least,
like, and he's like, no, that doesn't change anything. And I'm like, thank you. At least you know
like
that doesn't change.
Two things about this episode that I was like, okay, yes, like, I can totally get behind this is when Emma said to Henry, like, oh, you'll forgive Regina and Rumpel for all the things that bad things that they've done, but you won't forgive me for literally this, like, one minuscule bad thing that I did. I mean, I know it was directly to him, so it was like it hurt him more than just, like, the, you know, just knowing the things that Rumpel and Regina had done in the past. But still, I was like, good on you, Emma, for calling out their BS, because this was just, like, not even fair. And then, two, I was, like, for once, was, like, applauding Rumpel, because, like, he finally, you know, was like, no, even though I have, like, a pure heart now, like, I still have to pay for the things I've done. I'm like, thank you. Finally,
yeah,
somebody said this.
If he stays on this path to redemption, I will believe it. But I'm not going to believe it overnight. Like, I get that he has a pure heart now and all that, which is fine. But I am so, I've been, like, he's fallen back on his cowardly ways so many times. And
which
it's not the,
like,
darkness either.
Yeah.
Like, it is and it isn't. Because
he's
like
that. Which
I think
is maybe their point.
Before he was a dark one.
Yeah, I feel like maybe that's the point of them stressing so much. Like, oh, Emma and Hook are being possessed by the darkness. And, you know, Emma, as we know, like, had the potential to be this crazy, terrible, dark person before she was even the dark one. And she, like, resisted it and, you know, went into the light, even though she had, like, a really crappy life and could have easily been a terrible person. And then Hook, obviously, it's different because, like, he succumbed to, like, darker parts of himself for a long time, but then he, like, proved himself, redeemed himself. But I feel like maybe with Rumpel, they're trying to show that, oh, like, yes, he was under the spell of this, like, darkness, and it kind of, like, amplified the worst parts of him. But I feel like since it seems like, I'm assuming, we'll see that Hook is going to be able to, like, fight it off, or he already is maybe playing the darkness, kind of like Emma did.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're going to show that, like, sure, Rumpel, like, he's redeemed, quote-unquote redeemed, but really the core things that made him weak have always been there. So I feel like that's, like, what happened when he was like, oh, no, like, I'm a coward, blah, blah, blah. I'm done running from a fight, and, like, how he actually, like, went to duel Hook. But then I feel like when he was dueling Hook, the glimmers of him, like, what he was like when he was the arrogance, and just, like, the two of them together, like, I feel like that brought out, like, you didn't need to be the dark one to, you know, have the hatred and the darkness and the anger. And
exactly.
So I feel like when he like, had the Excalibur to hit his throat, like, he was, like, that close to just, like, you know, doing it.
The only reason, if this was The Walking Dead, or Grey's Anatomy, or some other show where they don't care about killing their main characters, Rumpel would have killed Killian in a heartbeat. Like, no questions asked. Or Hook would have killed Rumpel first.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't kill off some of the main characters. It's just not what Once Upon a Time does. Like, they do on occasion, but it's very rare. And it's just not one of those shows, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to constantly,
like,
worry if they're going to survive the episode.
The whole thing with, like, Killian making it seem like he was going to kill, like, Rumpel, his whole revenge thing, I feel like, I don't know. It's so hard. Like, there's so many conflicting ideas floating out there. Obviously, I hope we're going to find out on Sunday, like, what's real. But I feel like part of me thinks, oh, maybe, like, he obviously was just playing Rumpel into thinking, like, oh, hey, I'm gonna try and kill you, when obviously all he really needed was his blood. But then the other part of me thinks maybe he was going to kill him, because, I mean, either way, he would have been able to get his blood if he killed him. So I'm like, was he actually going to kill him, or did he go into it thinking, I'm just going to trick him, and all I need is to get one good swipe with my hook, and then I'm going to pretend like I lost, and I'll go run off to this, you know, heroes, all victorious, and they won't know what my plan is.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's so many little little pieces that I don't understand, and I really need to know.
Here's the thing. He did not cut him with Excalibur. He purposely went and used his hook. Because I think even in Storybrooke, if you get hurt with Excalibur, it will kill you. So I think it was all trick. Because I find it very hard to believe that the Dark One was bested, quote-unquote, by Rumpelstiltskin, who's now immortal, just a normal guy, and some rope with the pulley thing on it. Like, I just don't believe that at all.
Yeah,
so,
I feel like the key moment was when the little, like, you know, Dark One in Killian's head said, well, what are you waiting for? Clearly, like, I feel like that proves that the motivator behind whatever he's doing, it's not him. It's, you know, the Dark One inside of him has, like, the reins, and he's just kind of, like, along for the ride. And that gives a little, like, taunting with him, like, I feel like he was playing real Rumpel, but then he was also playing in his head Rumpel. I just feel like there's more. There's got to be some, like, ulterior motive that, like, Killian has, like, you know, like how Emma did. Like, she tricked
yeah.
the darkness into thinking that she was, like, going to destroy all the light, but really she was trying to destroy all the dark. I want to believe that that's, like, what Killian is doing. Like, I don't want to believe that he really just, like, plummeted 5,000 feet into the darkness. But even if he did, as long as he kind of sees the light before the end of the episode on Sunday and, like, has some kind of glimmer of hope, I'll be okay.
Yeah, like, here's my thing. The entire time that we've known Captain Hook, he's been wanting revenge against the Dark One. It's always been the Dark One. I mean, obviously it's mostly Rumpel, but I mean, it's the darkness. So I feel technically like his revenge is against the darkness itself, which is why I agree. I think he's playing the darkness in his head. So he is luring all the Dark Ones to Storybrooke and bringing them back so he can have them all in one place. And then somehow tether them all together or whatever and take him out with Excalibur or sacrifice himself with Excalibur. I don't know. Something along those
yeah.
lines.
Yeah, I definitely
because
think
because he brought back Nimue.
Yeah.
He purposely brought back Nimue. And Merlin's message was Nimue can help you destroy the darkness. So,
yeah, which makes me wonder if before, like, look, why did Merlin have just, like, a dark curse brewing, which is waiting for someone
yeah.
to crush a heart into it? Like, Hook didn't assemble any of that. It was like, it was
no,
all Merlin. So Merlin made this curse, and all they needed was the last ingredient, which makes me think that Merlin was totally in on this. He knew what was going to happen. He that's why he said Nimue is the only way, because, like, he, like, his plan, like, his you know, end
is
happiness
to get rid of
or
all the darkness.
Outcome would be to, like, get rid of the darkness. So he knows
yeah.
that the only way to do that is for them to, like, bring back Nimue and kind of destroy the roots of the darkness and just, like, get rid of it altogether. So I'm convinced that Merlin's been on something. Killian's tricking everybody. He's, like, triple playing, double, triple agent everyone. Like, it's really elaborate.
Yeah.
I do think that his, like, anger and everything is real. Like, I don't think that
oh,
that's
yeah.
not real.
And I think it's completely,
like, think
justified, too.
He's feeling real emotions, but I feel like his actions are with a purpose. Like, he's purposely
yeah.
lashing out at Emma to, like, make her, like, get over him, basically, so that she has the strength to, like, let him die. Because I feel like, you know, if she was still all,
that's
like, tacky over him, she wouldn't be able to do it. So he's, like, pushing
exactly.
her to the point where she's going to be able to, like, not care if she has to, like, kill him to save everyone else, which I feel like is where they're going with this. And
yeah,
I'm going
yeah.
to be really, really emotional about it.
Yeah, and I think the worst part is he's saying all these cruel, like, he's saying all these things in, like, the cruelest way he possibly can, but he really does feel that way. Like, he feels
mm-hmm.
that she doesn't have faith in him, that he's been following her around like a puppy dog this whole time, and he's had to prove himself over and over and over again to her that he's not going to abandon her, that he's not going to leave her, and that she can trust him. And then the second he becomes a Dark One, she reverts back to her old ways of not trusting him and thinking that he's going to abandon her, so that's why she lied about Excalibur. So I feel like his feelings are, they're obviously extremely amplified with the darkness in him, but they're completely justified to me, I think. He justified him feeling that way because he begged her with his like dying breath, please don't do this to me, let me go. I don't want to become the Dark One. And she didn't listen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I definitely think that he still, obviously, he even admitted, like, because I feel like when he told, like, I don't think he was ever lying. Like, when he, like, and I know he tricked her, like, oh, you know, like, the whole, like, thing where they were in the field of flowers and she said, like, that she loved him and then they had that whole, like, romantic encounter.
I think that's when he decided to trick the darkness and get rid of it all.
Yeah, because he said it all started when she lied about Excalibur. So that was before then. But I feel like he had to know, he wanted to know, like, how deep in she still was, like, feelings-wise. And I feel like he's had 300 years to, like, think about how much he wants to destroy the Dark One. So
probably knows the most about the Dark One than anyone else, other than an actual Dark One.
Now that he's won himself, he has, like, all of their thoughts in his mind. So I feel like to piece together, I feel like people might be questioning, like, oh, if he is plotting this huge plan to get rid of all the darkness, like, how would he know? He's literally been the Dark One for, like, 2 days. But I feel like all of their, like, knowledge is, like, now a part of him. So he must know that he can summon them forward. And Nimue is, like, in his head, you know, Rumple's in his head. Like, I just feel like...
And even
he's pretty,
the Rumple
he's smart
in his
enough
head.
To put it together.
And if you think about it, like, I know technically Rumple said it, but it was the conscience Rumple that was, like, I can help you get your revenge. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, to kill me, of course. But I wonder if that was kind of like a play on words, like to kill me, like the darkness me, not Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
And I wonder.
I feel like he kind of like put his feud with Rumple to bed like a long time ago, like personally, between the two of them. Like, I know that obviously in this last season, like Rumple kind of, you know, tried to kill him. Like when he said, like Hook went into that whole thing where he said, oh, like, do you know what it's like to, like, be not in control of yourself? Like, the last time I wasn't in control of myself, like, you almost died and I almost got my heart crushed by the Dark One and blah, 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 whatever. Like, so I feel like, I mean, obviously there might just be some new fresh anger now that all happened, but I feel like it's, like, it isn't personal anymore. His, like, desire to, like, his revenge, like, his ultimate, like, sure, if Rumple was the Dark One and he could kill Rumple and the Dark One at the same time, that would be like
he'd
the
do that
ultimate
in a heartbeat.
Thing. But if it's going to be a choice between killing Rumple, just Rumple, or eliminating the Dark
getting
One
rid
forever,
of the darkness,
he's going to pick the Dark One, obviously, because that's like the Dark One was the root of all the bad, a lot of the bad things in his life. So I just feel like, if given the choice, he would definitely choose killing off the darkness forever rather than killing off mortal, no one gives a crap, you know, normal, mortal Rumple, because who cares, like, you know.
Yeah.
Without him being the
Speaking
Dark
of,
One, a different person.
Speaking
guess,
of,
boy.
Who cares? Belle doesn't care. Well, I mean, she cares, but you know what I mean. I am so proud of Belle. And if she doesn't stick to her word in this episode, I'm going to be very upset because she's gone back on her word before. But
it took her long enough. It's been like a ring around the rosy kind of a thing, but she finally, I feel like, has settled on the, like, firm feet in the ground decision, because now that he is, like, no longer, like, now that he's the man she always wished he would be, now she can, like, clearly think about it and not be manipulated by him anymore. to the point where she can say, you're good on your own, and I can step away from you, and I won't feel bad about it, and I won't feel guilty that I am not there to help you, and, like, I know that you're going to be okay on your own, because now that you have this new persona, and you're stronger, I guess, in a way. But
that aggravates me is everyone's like, oh, Rumpel changed. He decided to be a better person. He chose to be a hero. He really didn't choose anything.
Yeah, he didn't
choose. The darkness was taken out of him. He got a clean blank slate, and then Emma forced him to be the hero. He didn't want to be a hero. He said multiple times, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it, I'm a coward, I'm a coward, I'm a coward. So had Emma and Merida not pushed him to that breaking point, he would have just reverted to the same cowardly man that he's always been, like when he was back with Mila and he broke his leg. So that's another problem I have with Rumpel's redemption thing is, like, I don't know. I just don't like Rumpel anymore. I prefer him as the Dark One.
Because then at least there's, like, some substance, and because Rumpel is the Dark One. He doesn't pretend to be something he's not. Like, not like Mr. Gold in Storybook, like, who then now has magic. It's, like, back in the Enchanted Forest, like, the Dark One.
Full-blown Dark One, he's fabulous.
He doesn't pretend to be something he's not. Well, maybe with his son, he tried to play it off. But, like, other than that, he doesn't try and pretend he's, like, high and mighty and, you know, whatever. So I feel like, I agree. Like, Rumpel as the Dark One, fine. Like, that's an interesting character. That's, like, at least there's justification in, like, he's evil and he owns it. But when he's, like, trying to pretend that he's trying to redeem himself and, like groveling for forgiveness when he, like, clearly has proved he doesn't deserve it 500 times over, it gets old fast. So I'm glad that Belle finally was, like...
He's, like, a sad little puppy that keeps, like... He just keeps asking to be kicked over and over. And, like, he's just... I don't like him as Mr. Gold with, like, all these emotional issues, like... I like him as a Dark One. It's like it does. It gets very old.
Yeah. At least now, for now, Belle is stepping away, and hopefully, if he's gonna redeem himself now that he has a kickstart, like regardless of how he got there, I guess now it's how he decides to go from here. Like if he. Follows the path of, like, being good from here on out, then I would be like, okay, then you worked for it, and now it's good that you're, like, I will believe that you're, like, redeemed now because you actually put in the work and you proved yourself. But so he could very easily just, you know, descend back into being, like, a coward. He did, like, one heroic thing and, you know, proved he can be a hero, but can he stay a hero? I feel like that's where his journey is going to go now. Is he going to keep straight on the path, or is he going to, like, fall off and, you know, prove he's still...
And that's another reason I'm glad Belle left him again, is because he used her as a crutch for quite a bit. So,
which I feel like
if
she
he
brought
can stand
up,
on his
which
own
I
without
like.
Her... Yeah. Yeah, she said it. She said, I've been... trying to fix your heart for so long now, and I need to protect mine now. And I'm like, you go, Belle.
I feel
so
like
proud
Belle
of you
was
right
always
now.
Trying to save him from the darkness. Like, when Regina told her to, you know, give him True Love's kiss, like, she wanted to break the curse so that she could take away the monster and just, like, get, you know, find the man that she knew was, like, in there somewhere, which I can, you know, I'm totally okay with that, and I can justify that, and I can get on board with that, but then it's just all the things that happened afterwards that I'm not good with.
Yeah.
So, and then when she was like, oh, you know, I'm never going to stop fighting for him, it was like she was always fighting for him. He was never fighting for her, I feel like. He was always the one that was like...
He was manipulating her, lying to her.
So, I'm glad that she is, like, taking the reins, stepped back, and kind of said, hey, like, I'm not saying no forever, but I'm saying... no for now, and, like, indefinite, you know, who knows if I'll ever be okay. But if I'm going to figure it out, like, that's something I got to do on my own. And I can't, you know, you have this clean slate now, and you get to decide what to do with it. But I need to go be me before I can even think about forgiving you or, you know, being with you again, kind of thing. So kudos to her.
Yeah. Yes, props to Belle. Finally saying what she's needed to say for ever. For quite some time. So I was, I was very happy. Another thing I did not understand is the whole Lancelot and his mother being the Lady of the Lake. And how that was just completely thrown in from left field. Obviously, that will come into play later. So it was the most random thing ever.
Yeah. I was like, what is going on? Like, I was very confused.
I was like, did I miss some? Did I miss a piece of this episode?
A million episodes anyway. So I was like very confused as to how he was even there. Like, where was he? Where was he the last, you know, they freed him from the jail, which I really like.
He was helping Granny and the dwarves watch the kids.
Apparently. Because all those kids are still nowhere to be found.
All two of them.
All two of them. They're just gone.
I will say I looked, and there was, like, a pile of blankets under Mary Margaret when Emma brought them all back for the curse. I'm like, oh, good, she did remember to grab Neil. So he's not, like, left in Camelot somewhere.
Oh, good, they do have the babe.
Oh, good, she remembered her brother that's named after her ex-lover. Perfect.
Yeah.
I didn't see Roland, though. I could have just missed him, but they must have been in the back.
Yeah.
They were out of screenshot.
Somewhere. It's fine.
They're floating around. It's fine.
Back eventually.
We need to talk about the pilot parallels to Emma holding Hook like Snow held Charming. Because that hurt a lot.
That like, was a just lot. Like... real, just, like, knife to the heart, just twisted it, like, from the start of the episode, there was already a knife in my heart, so that was just, like, a big old twist in the knife that was already in my heart, because, like, I feel like it was so purposefully, like, set up, and it was, like, Emma was not even anywhere near him when the smoke descended. She literally made a point to go and sit there and cradle him, and the curse swept over them. I just was like, are you freaking kidding me? Especially because, but then before that, when she knocked him out and she came up with her little plan, when she was like, oh, when you wake up, like, you won't remember this, and you'll be the man I love, the one who loves me. And I was like, oh my God, I can't. That whole thing.
That was horrible. I'm actually drawing them, or I'm attempting to draw because I haven't drawn in a while, but I'm drawing that scene with her head pressed against his. It just hurt so much. And it was such a beautiful scene. And then I went back and I watched the pilot episode, that very end episode, or that very end scene where they're back in the diner and they're like, what happened? And if you look at her face, oh my God, it's horrible. And then I saw on Tumblr someone said, so when Emma was saying, there's the pirate I remember, she was talking about the one that still loved her and all this other stuff. And I was like, can you guys not?
Could you not?
Horrible. Can you not make this worse? Thanks. It's already bad enough.
Let's pause for a second and let's not bring up all the things that now make so much more sense if we go back and rewatch the beginning of the season, because now we're all going to cry about every single thing that's ever happened this whole season because we know why.
Can we just not go there?
Now.
Yeah, we know what Emma knows, and I would like to go back to their amnesianist because that was just so
I would like to go back to being oblivious and, you know, in denial and naive because it was a
Can
whole
we go
lot
back
of...
to the pretty flower field?
let's just go back to all the pretty flowers and when Emma was still wearing her
riding, when she was pretty little, she's still in her white cape
with her pretty white dress and all the happy things.
When Killian's hair was parted back on the normal side.
When it was parted not on the dark side.
When he didn't go all emo and, like, Jared Way. And, like, My Chemical Romance. And
though I must say,
they look like.
Yeah, this is a lot.
I mean, I loved it. He looked like a heroin addict. Him and Emma. They both looked like straight up heroin addicts in that field when she summoned him. And like I was waiting for some eye twitches or something.
But that scene probably was like hands down, like that scene, and then obviously the one where like, well, not I wouldn't call that this scene, but the moment when like the whole curse thing. But that whole like in the field scene, I feel like was like that, and the one where Hook came and told her that he still had feelings for her, feelings of hatred and just, you know, disappointment and whatever, and then he told her that she's always going to be an orphan or whatever. Just like those were like the two, like, of the whole episode, I feel like two of like the best scenes just in terms of the performance and the writing and everything. It's just like that when she, like, the fact that she stood there for like, you know, however long, you know, a few, half a minute, and kind of struggled with, like, whether or not she should just, like, summon him. And I was like, oh, my gosh, she's, like, so visibly torn up over the fact that she's doing what she said she wouldn't do. And then when he shows up, you know, he's all angry, and just their whole conversation, and that scene is going to be it's going to go down as one of the best, I feel like, on this show ever.
Yeah, and going back to that scene again, I mean, he probably really does feel hatred and disgust and anger towards her, but he's telling her in, like, the cruelest way possible, which we discussed, but I feel as horrible as it is right now, it's going to be, like, 50 million times worse when the darkness is gone and they're back together, and then they have to deal with the fact, not that he said it, but that he felt it. And Killian was a brooding, dark person who didn't think he deserved anything before. So I feel like after this, it's going to be like a million times worse. Okay, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to be horrible.
A lot of self-loathing and a lot of...
Yes. A lot of brooding.
I feel like this is going to kickstart like a new... Like, I feel like this kind of already did, like, starting with Emma turning him into the Dark One. This is, like, kickstarting, like, a new kind of journey in their story. Like, up until this point, it's been Hook fighting for Emma, Hook believing in Emma, Hook supporting Emma, Hook never doubting Emma, and now I feel like...
And it's going to be, like, a reverse.
Like, she's now, like, I mean, she already proved to him that, like, she's not afraid anymore. She's, like, ready to, like... accept their life together and, like, start living it, and then now, obviously, she's going to have to, like, fight for it and kind of rebuild it once they get it back, and I feel like that's just, as angsty as it is, I feel like it's just, like, in terms of, like, a love story, it's, like, really poetic, because it's like, oh, like, it can't all be one-sided, like, they got to fight for each other.
It's so
like,
poetic to rip my heart out all the time.
No one's for each other, you know, like, they both took turns rescuing each other. It wasn't just like Army came and saved her every day and that was it. Like, I feel like there is hope knowing the fact that now Emma's going to fight for him and he's going to be, he might not think he deserves it after all of this once he gets back to his, you know, redeemed self, I guess you could call it. But I feel like she's going to have to prove to him that he is worth it and that she, you know, is fighting for him, regardless of what he had thought before.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the conversation afterwards, like the heart-to-heart, which might take a whole other season to get to their heart-to-heart, because it's like pulling teeth with them and serious conversations.
with their
luck. Yeah, they come around once in a blue moon, so.
it might be a while.
Season 6
they might be in denial
the...
and avoid each other. It's fine.
Yeah.
But all right. I'm so excited, but I'm also not at all.
Especially over the fact that they now 100%, there is literally not a single shred of doubt at all that this whole underworld thing is happening, because literally they just blew the top right off it, and they were like,
yep.
Oh, look, there's a portal to the underworld right here in Storybrooke, and we know how to access it. I'm just like, oh, boy, oh, my God. This is happening, this is real, and none of us are prepared, and we're all going to die.
Yes, and I can't wait for Hades. I feel like it's going to be amazing. And I feel like he's not going to let Killian go very easily, because if you think about it, Killian has been evading death for over 300 years. So,
yeah.
He can't be too happy about that. And then you're going to have the Hero Brigade come in and be like, okay, we're just going to take this one back. And then Rumpel has also been evading death for just as long, if not longer. So it's going to be interesting to see Hades interacting with all these people. And I'm excited.
I'm so excited to see how it all, like, unfolds. Like, I know we both have our collective theories of, like, how we think, you know, obviously, like, big theory number one is that Hook's dad, who we finally get to meet in the vintage finale, and we get to see young
mid-season.
So I'm
Do we get to see young Hook in the mid-season finale?
Yeah, it's, the...
Or is it later on?
No, it's, because... Adam, who's playing Hook's dad, had said on Twitter that...
No, the young Hook one.
But I'm pretty sure that is part of it. Like, they're going to have, like, maybe, I think. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Sure,
regardless, we're getting Papa Hook.
We're getting his dad, which I know is
that's
dad's
for sure.
But I feel like they wouldn't intro him as a character without first giving some backstory first. Like, there's going to be, like, little snippets, probably, of, like, Hook and his dad when he was younger. And then that's going to lead to the big reveal at the end that we think is going to happen. Like, oh, look, he is Davy Jones, or he's in the underworld, or he's whatever is going to happen with him. I feel like that's how they're going to set it up, is they're going to have to show glimpses of, like, Hook's childhood and why he's the way he is. I'm sure they'll dive more into it in the second half. But I feel like they have to at least have, like, one scene somehow. Maybe it'll be, like, a flashback in Hook's mind, like, when the darkness is possessing him or something. I don't know. When, you know, his dad abandoned him or something. Maybe we'll just get to see that, which, painful. That'll be super painful.
I don't want to think about that. But thanks.
I'm not sure.
Thanks for that.
If all else fails, we're going to get to meet his dad on Sunday, which is one step in the right direction of a really Hook-centric second half of the season, which clearly will be the best time for both of us.
Yes, and I can't wait to see what Colin does with it, because, you know, he's just going to go, he just keeps getting better and better acting-wise. And he was already amazing to start out with, and now that he has all these different versions of Hook to play with, it's great. Speaking of different versions, he had, like, 5 outfit changes, which I loved, and I want all of them. Because the first one, when he was in the vault for, like, 5 seconds, that costume was, like, his and Rumpel's, like, mixed together. And it was beautiful. And I wish I had better pictures of the fabric, because I want to make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I liked how his... Dark One cloak was longer than his normal one. So, I just love costume changes, and I love all the costumes on this show. They're fabulous. Except for when he buttons up his shirt. I'm not a fan of that. It's not okay. I mean, it is, but at the same time, it's odd. to see
him. Look at those pictures that came out today, and that's all you need to know about. And that costume, that makes my costume really, really appealing.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. One more thing I was really happy about was the fact that even though Henry was being all angry, angsty teenager, it only lasted for like 10 minutes. And then he was back on Emma's side again and helping her, and it was great. Operation Cobra Part 2.
Yeah, I did like that, how obviously he kind of lashed out at her, but she proved to him, like, oh, no, you can trust me. Like, I'm not even going to ask you to shake this off. Like, we're going to do this without magic. Like, I want you to help me break this spell, you know, kind of thing. So that's what Henry loves to do is, you know, break curses and help the Savior get everyone's happiness back. So he knows what's up. He does.
I bet he's really regretting breaking that pen.
I mean, really, all of this could have been avoided. He wouldn't have broken
I just thought about the first episode when Hook came to him and was like, hey, can you just, like, write this better? And he's like, no, I can't. My mom would want me to cheat like that. And I'm just like, kid, she'd probably be okay with it this one time. It's not like you're writing, like, completely new story. Well, I mean, you kind of are, but at the same time, you could have spared us a lot of pain and anguish. Think about us, Henry. Think about the fans going through all this horrible heartache. Could have all been avoided if you did not break that pen. Why can't you just get another pen? Does it have to be that pen? Because didn't he have multiple quills he could pick from?
Yeah, well, but only one of them was magical. It was like whether or not he was going to pick the right one. Like, if he was drawn to the magical one, I feel like that was going to prove that he was the author. Are you talking about, like,
able to, like, pick a stylish one, like, whatever one he wanted.
No. Oops. No, that was just, like, a test to see if he was going to choose the magical one.
My bad. He was getting to pick out, like, all right, I'm the I'm the author. I can pick out what pen I want to write with.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it was just like a test to see if he was worthy of being the author.
All right, well, I guess it makes
the right well. No, I feel like the only other way to make it another quill would have been like to use wood from an enchanted tree, which I wonder if the enchanted tree was Merlin as a tree. I don't know. Whatever. That's a whole other
They could have like
probably never be explained, but there was some magical tree that was the only way to get the quill to work. It had to be made from the certain tree or whatever. So,
No more author. Oh, Merlin be.
I
don't know. She's coming up with more theories again.
He like chooses the author, so he must be. It must have been his magical, you know, branches.
Yeah.
There we go.
Hey, Merlin, I'm just going to snap off a finger here. It's fine. It'll grow back. It's good.
Oh.
Totally fine. I totally forgot that the sorcerer was Merlin's person. I'm just out of it with the plot lines and connecting the dots today.
Yeah.
I'm just emotionally traumatized, okay? Can't hold it against me.
Yeah, little did we know when they were like, oh, Merlin's the only one that can help, that this is where we were going to end up.
Merlin did not do
a
lot
of
helping.
We thought we were in a fun little trip to Camelot, and now look what happened.
And now look what you've done. All right, I think we could obviously talk some more about this, but I think we should probably wrap it up right about now.
Yeah, right.
Is there anything else we haven't covered that you'd like to bring up?
Nope, I think we pretty much covered that we love angsty, hard things, and we're not prepared for next week.
We are not prepared for next week. We might not see you next week because we might be dead. So, you know.
We'll just be crying on the floor. It's fine.
Yep. It might take a while to get our review up because we'll just be so sad. No, we will be back on Monday after the mid-season finale, and you can come cry with us and feel free to tweet us and all that good stuff. So be sure to check out our website at thevro.com for more recaps and reviews, and Emily's blog in case you like to read, because she writes pretty awesome blogs on Once Upon a Time. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at thevro, and on Instagram and Tumblr at Variety Radio Online. And you can also find us over at Audio Boom now. So we will see you next week. And we will probably all be crying. So
we'll all be crying. Prepare yourselves. We'll see you then.
Yeah. Prepare yourselves for lots of tears and tissues. According to Colin O'Donoghue. He told us. He warned us. So
we have been warned.
There you go. You have been warned. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.